Hello, and welcome to show number 2417 of Eyes on Success, a weekly program covering a wide variety of topics of interest to people with vision loss. I'm Nancy Goodman-Torpy.
And I'm Pete Torpy.
Well, this week is kind of a continuation of last week's show, in which we took you with us as we toured San Diego with the aid of some AI tools. And the difference is, this week we'll be using different AI tools and visiting different parts of San Diego. So we hope you come along with us for today's adventure. But first, for our tip of the week, this week's tip is there are many tools out there. You should try more than one and use whatever is most appropriate to the current task.
Last week, we showed you how the Be My Eyes app can be used either in real time while you're visiting sites or can be used at home by going through your photo roll. This week, we'll be showing you some different AI tools, in particular, the Gemini tools from Google on their website and the Bing tool from Microsoft on their website. They both have options to upload images and have it described to you. Eyes on Success is supported by
Able One, a portable Braille keyboard for any smartphone or tablet for typing and navigation that has been used by thousands of blind people. You don't even need to know Braille to use it. More information is at www.imhable.com. That's IAMHABLE.com.
You are listening to Eyes on Success. Success, 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 success.
This week's focus topic is more of our adventures as we were traveling around San Diego and how using various AI tools after the fact, Pete, who is totally blind, was able to gain a better appreciation for what we had seen and experienced. And this week, we focus largely, but not totally, on the San Diego Zoo. Now, the San Diego Zoo is actually two very different things. There's the zoo in Balboa Park, which is, if not the largest urban zoo in the world, has been rated as the best, and it is fabulous. And then there's another branch that's a half an hour drive or so outside the city that's called the Safari Park, and it is, not surprisingly, much more spread out and a different experience, and we thoroughly enjoyed both of those. So to point out one of the major distinctions between the two of them, we will first take you with us to the entrances of both, and then we're going to be a little vague about which animals were in which location, but I hope you enjoy the experiences. And then we'll talk about the Air and Space Museum and some animals we saw outside of zoos at the beach.
As they say, it's all happening at the zoo. And here we are at the entrance to the San Diego Zoo. This is a really fun zoo.
The image you uploaded shows the entrance to the San Diego Zoo. The main focus is the large San Diego Zoo sign, which is green with a colorful logo of a lion's head above it. There are ticket booths labeled tickets where visitors can purchase entry passes. People are visible in the image, some walking towards the entrance while others appear to be waiting or milling about. The sky is clear and blue, indicating good weather. Palm trees and other vegetation are visible in the background, adding to the aesthetic appeal of the zoo's entrance. Please let me know if you need more information.
The weather is often very gorgeous in San Diego, and it was for the entire time that we were visiting. Also, just as a side note, it's kind of interesting how these AI tools actually ask you if you want more information. It's almost like talking to a real person.
Pete's comment about the weather in San Diego almost always being gorgeous is, of course, true. But it turns out a few days after we got home, they had torrential rains, which caused massive flooding and big problems for the people of San Diego. And our hearts go out to anybody who suffered damages from that. But when we were there, it was gorgeous every day.
And here's the image description of the picture I took outside of the entrance to the San Diego Safari Park.
The image captures the entrance of the San Diego Zoo Safari Park. The entrance is characterized by a large, thatched roof structure with a pointed top, resembling a traditional African hut. A sign with red text and a white background is affixed to the front of this structure, displaying the park's name and logo, a stylized, red silhouette of an animal that appears to be an elephant or rhinoceros. Palm trees and other greenery surround the entrance, adding to the safari theme. People can be seen in the distant view under the entrance structure, giving scale to its size.
Not surprisingly, shortly after we entered each of the zoo and the safari park, we started encountering marvelous specimens of various animals, birds, etc.
The photo captures a serene scene of two eagles enclosed within a wired fence in a natural, outdoor setting. The enclosure is situated in a forested environment, as indicated by the ground covered with fallen leaves and pine needles. Green shrubs and trees surround the enclosure, casting intricate patterns of shadows on the ground inside. The eagles are perched on branches that are laid horizontally across the enclosure. One of the eagles is closer to the foreground, its form highlighted by sunlight filtering through the trees above. This eagle is an adult American bald eagle, characterized by its white head and tail feathers that contrast sharply against its dark brown body and wings. Its beak is yellow and hooked, a feature designed for tearing flesh, and its eyes are sharp and focused, indicative of its keen eyesight. The second eagle is slightly obscured in the background, blending into the shadows of the enclosure. Both eagles appear calm and at ease in their environment, adding to the overall tranquility of the scene. The photo beautifully captures the majesty of these birds in their enclosed yet naturalistic habitat.
As we mentioned, the safari park is enormous, and here's how AI described the general views.
The image you've shared captures a tranquil and picturesque landscape. It features rolling hills in the background, covered with lush greenery under a clear blue sky. A wooden walkway or bridge is prominent in the foreground, curving gently through the greenery, surrounded by various types of vegetation, including tall cacti, bushes, and trees. One of the more interesting animals in the image is a bird perched atop one of the cacti on the left side. Although its coloration is not entirely visible due to the distance and angle, it has a streamlined body, with its feathers appearing smooth and well-kept. This bird adds a touch of life to the serene landscape. In the distance, mountains add depth to the scenic view, suggesting a vast, open space. The sky is clear with no visible clouds, indicating good weather conditions. Overall, the image presents a beautiful snapshot of nature, filled with diverse elements that create a harmonious scene.
Have you ever seen a water buffalo? Well, that's what's next. And here's the description we got from AI.
The image you've shared captures a group of animals, likely water buffaloes, in an enclosure. The enclosure is characterized by a dry, sandy terrain with patches of green grass. A chain-link fence is visible in the foreground, suggesting that this might be a zoo or animal sanctuary. There are trees on both sides of the image, providing natural elements to the setting. One of the more interesting animals in the image is a water buffalo with distinct physical features. It has dark gray skin and large, curved horns that extend outward from its head before curving upward. Its eyes are expressive and its ears protrude to the sides, giving it an attentive look. This particular water buffalo stands out due to its unique features and commanding presence in the scene.
Now, this description didn't come from a description of the picture that I took, but it came from following up with the AI and asking more questions about what a water buffalo looks like, how big it is, etc. So let's see what we got.
Water buffaloes are quite large animals. On average, they stand about 1.33 meters tall. They can measure 8 to 9 feet from head to rump, with their tail adding an extra 2 to 3.3 feet. They typically weigh between 1,500 to 2,650 pounds. Given these averages, the water buffalo in the image you shared could be around the same size. However, without specific reference points in the image, it's challenging to provide an exact estimate. Please note that these are general averages and individual sizes can vary.
It is just not a visit to a zoo without going to see the monkeys. They are always entertaining.
The image you uploaded shows three monkeys sitting on a rock formation within an enclosure. The monkeys each have distinct fur colors and features. In the background, there's a concrete wall and metal fencing, indicating that they are inside an enclosure. There's also a suspension bridge made of metal cables and a circular platform, likely part of the enclosure for the monkeys to play and move around. The enclosure is surrounded by trees and greenery, providing a natural backdrop.
There was a herd of giraffes in a wide open space at the safari park.
And a giraffe is an animal that few blind people will get to entirely see. But when I asked the AI to give me a description of the picture of the giraffes that I took, it actually came up with a pretty detailed description. And I'll bet you get a pretty good idea of what those giraffes look like. Let's see.
Here is a description of the image you sent me. The image shows a group of giraffes standing around in a field. The giraffes are the tallest land animals on Earth, and they can reach up to 19 feet tall. They have long necks, small heads, and long legs. Their coats are patterned with brown and tan patches, and they have two short horns on their heads. Giraffes are herbivores, and they eat leaves, twigs, and fruit from trees. They use their long necks to reach food that other animals cannot reach. Giraffes are social animals, and they live in groups of up to 12 individuals. They are found in savannas and woodlands in Africa. Here are some interesting facts about giraffes. Their long necks can weigh up to 400 pounds. Their tongues can be up to 2 feet long. They can run up to 35 miles per hour for short bursts. They are pregnant for up to 15 months, and they give birth to a single calf. I hope this description is helpful.
I followed up with the AI, and I asked, hey, I'm blind, and I would appreciate it if you could describe the giraffes in a bit more detail because I obviously can't see the picture. And here was the surprising response I got from AI.
I apologize that I couldn't describe the picture before you mentioned you were blind. It's important for me to be mindful of different accessibility needs. Focusing on one of the giraffes, let's choose the one on the left with the lighter coat. Overall, this giraffe stands tall and graceful, its long legs supporting its massive body. Its neck stretches impossibly high, reaching towards the leaves above. Imagine a rich, warm brown coat, like brewed coffee with hints of caramel in the sunlight. The fur is smooth and sleek, almost velvety to the touch. Patches of darker brown form intricate patterns across its back and legs, like brush strokes on a canvas. Head. Two large, expressive eyes gaze out from its head, their dark depths fringed by long, black lashes. They seem calm and curious, taking in the world around them. Two short horns, bony and smooth, protrude from the top of its head. They are covered in a soft layer of fur, adding to its gentle appearance. Its long, dark tongue peeks out from its mouth, reaching for the leaves high above. Imagine the gentle rasp of its tongue against the leaves as it grazes. Body and movement. The giraffe's powerful legs support its weight with ease. Its movements are slow and deliberate, each step graceful and measured. Its long neck sways gently as it reaches for food, its body swaying in a slow, rhythmic dance. Imagine the soft swish of its tail as it flicks back and forth, sending shivers down its long neck and back. I hope this detailed description helps you paint a mental picture of this magnificent giraffe. Please let me know if you'd like me to describe anything else in more detail.
Well, sometimes if the answer you got wasn't satisfactory, if you rephrase the question and explain why you're asking, you can get a better answer. And this was a great example of that.
Next, it was time to take a picture of a bunch of flamingos. Really cute animals.
Here is a detailed description of the image you sent me. The image shows a group of flamingos standing in a shallow pond. The water in the pond is a light blue color, and there are a few small rocks and plants visible in the water. The ground around the pond is covered in green grass, and there are a few trees in the background. The sky is a clear blue color, and there are no clouds visible. The flamingos in the image are all different colors, ranging from pink to red. They are all different sizes as well, with the largest ones being about the size of a small person. The flamingos have long legs and necks, and their bodies are covered in feathers. Their beaks are curved downwards, and their eyes are small and black. Flamingos are wading birds that are found in tropical and subtropical regions around the world. They are known for their pink feathers, which get their color from the shrimp and algae that they eat. Flamingos are social animals that live in colonies of up to thousands of individuals. They are filter feeders, and they use their beaks to strain small shrimp and algae from the water. Flamingos are monogamous birds, and they mate for life. They lay one egg per year, and both parents help to incubate the egg and care for the chick. I hope this description is helpful.
But then I wanted to know more about the flamingos, how many there were there and what they were doing. Just tell me a little bit about what they were up to. So I asked a follow-up question about the image that I submitted.
There are approximately 30 flamingos in the picture. They appear to be standing relatively close together in the shallow water of a pond. Some flamingos are standing on one leg, while others have both legs tucked underneath them. It is difficult to say for sure what they are doing without more context, but it is likely that they are foraging for food. The way they are standing close together in the shallow water suggests that they might be working together to stir up the bottom of the pond to make it easier to find food. Socializing. Flamingos are social animals, and they often stand close together in large groups. They may be preening each other's feathers, communicating with each other through vocalizations or body language, or simply enjoying each other's company. Resting. Standing on one leg is a common resting position for flamingos. It allows them to conserve energy and stay cool. I hope this helps.
From the beautiful, bright pink, graceful, slender flamingos, we went to see the rhinoceroses, which were anything but equally interesting and very impressive animals.
Here is a description of the image you sent me. The image shows two black rhinoceroses standing next to each other in a grassy field. The rhinoceros in the foreground is larger than the one in the background, and it has a large horn on its nose. The rhinoceros in the background is smaller and does not have a horn. Both rhinoceroses have thick, gray skin and short legs. Their ears are small and pointed, and their eyes are small and black. Black rhinoceroses are the second largest land mammal after elephants. They can weigh up to 3,600 pounds and grow up to 10 feet long. They have a large horn on their nose that they use for fighting and defending themselves. Black rhinoceroses are herbivores, and they eat leaves, twigs, and fruit. They are found in Africa, where they live in savannas, grasslands, and woodlands. Here are some interesting facts about black rhinoceroses. They are the fastest land mammal in Africa, and they can run up to 30 miles per hour. They are very social animals, and they live in groups of up to 12 individuals. They are critically endangered, and there are only about 5,000 black rhinoceroses left in the wild. I hope this description is helpful.
Interesting how sometimes the AI not only describes the picture, but gives you a lot more information about the content of the picture. In this case, a lot more information about rhinos than was available on any of the signs we saw or that was in the picture.
On another day, after visiting a beautiful botanical garden and some beautiful beaches where there were people having all different kinds of fun, we stopped off at the La Jolla Cove before going back to our hotel for the evening.
Here's a picture that I took while we were walking along the beach. Now, you don't see this at every beach in the world. I thought this was pretty interesting.
The photo captures a tranquil scene at a rocky shoreline during sunset. A group of seals are scattered across the rocks. Some appear to be resting, while others are moving about. There's also a variety of birds interspersed among the seals, some standing and others in flight. The ocean in the background is calm with gentle waves lapping against the shore. The sky is beautifully painted with hues of orange and yellow from the setting sun, casting a soft light over the entire scene. It seems like a peaceful end to the day in the natural world.
Technically, those so-called seals were actually sea lions, but given that we were showing photographs of many, many animals, no single one of them was big enough that you could have expected the AI to tell the difference, because seals and sea lions actually look very similar. So on another day, we had been seeing a lot of animals. We decided to do something totally different, and we went to the Air and Space Museum, also located in Balboa Park in San Diego.
Nancy and I are always suckers for air and space museums, and so here's the picture I took outside of the Air and Space Museum as we were about to enter.
The image you've shared primarily features an air and space museum, building, people, and an airplane flying overhead. Here are the details. The museum is a large, round building with a blue banner displaying white text that reads Air and Space Museum and another text below it which seems to read Above and Beyond. A large airplane is captured mid-flight in the sky above the museum, with its underbelly and wings clearly visible. There are several people walking around outside the museum. Some are near teal-colored umbrellas that appear to be shading seating areas. The sky is clear with minimal clouds, suggesting fair weather. In the background, there are trees and other buildings under the clear sky.
The description of the photograph of the outside of the Air and Space Museum made mention of a low-flying plane overhead. Well, it turns out that the Air and Space Museum is exactly under the flight path of the approach to the San Diego airport. And it's only about 2 miles away if you're in an airplane. Of course, it takes a lot longer in a car. And these planes looked like they were nearly ready to hit the top of the museum, but of course they did not. But it was just so cool to watch plane after plane after plane go right over the Air and Space Museum. So we stood there and watched for quite a while. Inside the museum were other planes, many of them much more historic than the ones we were seeing flying by outside. And they had a lot of very interesting exhibits about those.
The photo captures an exhibit featuring the Spirit of St. Louis airplane. Here are some details. The centerpiece of the image is the Spirit of St. Louis, a single-engine monoplane, showcased on a platform. A mannequin, representing a pilot from that era, stands next to the plane. An information board is placed in front of the plane, providing details about its history and specifications. In the background, there's a poster welcoming Lindbergh with visual elements related to aviation. Above in the ceiling area, there's another smaller aircraft model hanging and illuminating lights brightening up space. The floor has a reflective surface which mirrors some elements of the exhibit. It seems like a well-curated exhibit that provides a glimpse into the history of aviation. The Spirit of St. Louis is known for its historical significance as the aircraft used by Charles Lindbergh to make the first solo nonstop transatlantic flight in 1927. The exhibit appears to be designed to give visitors a sense of that momentous journey.
As usual with some of these AI tools, in addition to describing the picture, you can ask some follow-up questions about what it sees in the image, and that information may be other information that doesn't exactly come from the exhibit. It just comes from AI's general knowledge. So here's some more information about the Spirit of St. Louis plane that we saw.
The Spirit of St. Louis is a custom-built, single-engine, single-seat, high-wing monoplane. Here are some detailed specifications. Manufacturer, Ryan Airlines. Designer, Donald A. Hall. First flight, April 28, 1927. Retired, April 30, 1928. Length, 27 feet 7 inches 8.41 meters. Wingspan, 46 feet 14 meters. Height, 9 feet 10 inches 3.00 meters.
And so forth.
The plane was flown by Charles Lindbergh on May 20th to 21st, 1927, on the first solo nonstop transatlantic flight from Long Island, New York, to Paris, France. This flight won Lindbergh the $25,000 Ortieg Prize. As for the information board, it likely contains details about the plane's history and specifications. It might also include information about Charles Lindbergh's historic flight and the significance of the Spirit of St. Louis in aviation history. However, without a clear image or text from the information board, I can't provide the exact details. I recommend visiting the exhibit or the museum's website for more accurate information.
They, of course, had many aircraft that were more recent than the Spirit of St. Louis.
And here's the description of a Navy fighter jet that we saw hanging from the ceiling in the museum.
The image captures an indoor setting, likely a museum or exhibition hall. The central focus is on a life-sized model of a Navy fighter jet suspended in midair. The fighter jet is gray with black and white markings, including the text 7267 VF-96 and Navy, along with the insignia of the United States Navy. Below the jet is a large, multi-tiered fountain that sprays water upwards, creating a dynamic visual contrast to the static display of the aircraft. A person is seen observing this display, standing near the edge of the fountain's pool. The setting appears to be indoors with natural light filtering through an architectural ceiling structure. There are plants visible at one corner of the pool, adding a touch of greenery to the scene. It seems like the person is admiring the impressive display of the Navy fighter jet and the fountain. The juxtaposition of the jet and the fountain might symbolize the power and agility of the aircraft, as well as the fluidity and adaptability required in naval operations. The observer might be contemplating the technological advancements and the strategic importance of such aircraft in the Navy. The setting suggests a place of learning and appreciation for naval aviation history. I hope this description helps you visualize the scene. If you have any more questions or need further details, feel free to ask.
So that was how we used AI after our trip, by having AI describe some of the pictures that I took on my camera roll when we came home.
You are listening to Eyes on Success. 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 Success.
Now for this week's final item, how to get more information about any of the places we talked about in today's show. So if you want general information about San Diego and visiting there, and they have links to everything else you might want to see or do in the city, go to sandiego.org. In particular, if you're interested in the zoo and safari park, they share a website because they're part of the same organization, and that's San Diego Zoo Wildlife Alliance.org. More information about the Air and Space Museum can be found at sandiegoairandspace.org. And all of those sea lions and pelicans and beautiful sunset can be found at the La Jolla Cove, which is technically part of San Diego, but you can find more information about places of interest in that part of town at lajolla.com. That's LAJOLLA.com.
And the image descriptions and speech synthesis results all came from either the Gemini tools from Google or the Bing tools from Microsoft. And if you're looking for any of that information, click on the show notes associated with episode 2417 to find it.
That's it for today's show. Next week on Eyes on Success, we'll be talking about entrepreneurism. The Forsyth Entrepreneurial Center at the Chicago Lighthouse provides business startup educational workshops and certification programs for vision-impaired people who want to start or run their own business, or even just have a new idea they want to pursue at their current job. We'll talk with Colleen Wunderlich, Vice President of Partnerships, about the Forsyth programs and how you can join.
So thanks for joining us on this vacation with our AI tools, and I guess it's back to work next week.
You've been listening to Eyes on Success, hosted and produced by Nancy Goodman-Torpy and Peter Torpy.
You can access the full archive of previous shows, subscribe to the podcast, and much more by going to our website, www.eyesonsuccess.net. If you have questions about anything you've heard on the show or have suggestions for future shows, send an email to hosts@eyesonsuccess.net.
Thank you for listening, and have a nice day.